Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates each week. On Sundays, our message premieres at 1 p.m., and then on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. The title of my message today is number 384, Israelis and Palestinians. Whose side are you on? And of course, we'll be looking at the continuing conflict in the land of Israel. Now, as the name of our podcast implies, all of our podcasts typically have a prophecy thread. You know, since more than 25% of the Bible is prophecy, it's only natural that as we travel through the Bible, we are going to see prophecy. Now, we love answering questions. A lot of our topics, like today's topic, comes from people that send in questions. People in our video, our video and our listening audience send us questions. If you'd like to send us an email, I love those emails, and I respond to every single one of them. Our email address is prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know that you're watching and if you have a question. So let's get to today's question, number 384. Israelis and Palestinians, whose side are you on? You know, the escalation of the conflict between Israel and Gaza has caused demonstrations at college campuses all across the United States. You know, students, faculty, and administrators seem to be quickly choosing sides. And these are not necessarily wise choices that they are making. Today's topic is taken from a number of questions that we have received recently regarding the ongoing conflict, as well as the demonstrations. I thought I'd ask the question that seems evident between the Israelis and the Palestinians, whose side are you on? So here's the real question. Could we determine what God's stance would be between Israel and Palestine? Could we make a determination from what we read in the Bible or what the Bible has to say? Can we ask God by asking the Bible, whose side are you on? Now, this question actually arises whenever the question of war comes up in general, and specifically, of course, a war concerning Israel. What guidance does the Bible offer regarding warfare? Well, fortunately, we can use the Bible as a reference to this question because it was actually asked by Joshua over 3,000 years ago. Joshua, of course, succeeded Moses as the leader of the Israelites. According to the book of Exodus, this transition occurred because Moses had taken the people of Israel through the desert. They wandered for 40 years, took them to the very edge of the Promised Land. They were at the Jordan River. And the Lord would not allow Moses to take the people of Israel into the Promised Land. So Moses died, and Joshua was, of course, his successor. Now, in the midst of any conflict, there is always suffering, there's always civilian casualties, and even outright atrocities that occur on all fronts. Thus, how do we determine a champion? Who do we cheer for? And which one has the more righteous cause? So, as I mentioned earlier, that this question was actually posed by none other than Joshua, the esteemed leader, the warrior for the people of Israel. Now remember, they're at the threshold of going into the Promised Land, following God's directive to conquer and actually dispossess all the present inhabitants. Joshua encounters a figure brandishing a drawn sword near Jericho. Now let me read the passage to you from the Bible. You can find this in Exodus chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. The word of the Lord says this. It says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, and with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I now have come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does the Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for this place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So let's take a look at this passage a little closer. Joshua is the top general for the Israelites. He's Moses' successor, and he's going to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. They are going to drive out the people that were presently there. So Joshua boldly approaches this mysterious man with a drawn sword. As a military leader, of course, this is his duty. He needs to find out who his enemies are and whether this individual with this drawn sword is a friend or a foe. And he says, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Now, this is a logical question. You know, now, actually, he gave this figure, this person with the drawn sword, a two-part multiple choice question. You're either for us or you're for our enemies. But the response is interesting. He doesn't say Israel, and he doesn't say that he's for the adversaries, the foes, the enemies of Israel. Instead, he says, no. And this is not what Joshua was expecting. The warrior with the sword refuses to answer Joshua's question because, and here's the point, it's not the right question. And it's not the most important question to be asked at that time. The question really wasn't if the Lord was on Joshua's side. The proper question was if Joshua was on the Lord's side. You know, given the impending conquest of the land, it was a reasonable question by Joshua. However, the response that this commander of the Lord, army of the Lord, the response that he gave was unexpected. He just said, no. And the warrior replied, as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now, before you jump too quickly to a conclusion, as many of our students and faculty members and college administrators are, remember, this response is somewhat unsettling, considering that it was the Lord. It was the Lord who instructed Joshua to seize the land, to drive out the present inhabitants. Why wouldn't the commander of the Lord's army side with Joshua? Now, fortunately, if we keep reading, we can better understand Joshua's reaction, because Joshua's reaction was amazing. It was swift, it was appropriate, and it's revealing. Joshua fell to his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? That's Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. You see, my friends, Joshua immediately submitted when he was confronted with the Lord. Joshua identified himself as the servant and the warrior with the sword as the Lord. Joshua fell to his face and he worshiped. Now, all through the Bible, you can go through the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, when man mistakenly worships either another man or an angel, a human messenger of God, like Paul and Barnabas was worshiped, they're told, don't do that. Get off your knees. Worship only God, which tells us exactly who this warrior with the sword is. It's the Lord God. Scholars identify this as what's called a Christophany, a pre-appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would Jesus Christ appear to Joshua at this time? And why didn't he give him a direct answer if he was for them or against them? Well, it's a great question. And it's directly related to the answer I'm giving today. This question about the conflict between Israel and Hamas. You know, the Lord's appearance coincided with Joshua's need for guidance in the strategic capture of Jericho. In the subsequent chapter, Joshua execute a plan given to him by the Lord of how to seize and conquer Jericho, a city that had huge walls around it. The people were inside a walled encampment, and it would have been impossible for them to come in the way that the Lord described, but that's exactly what happened. Jesus, as commander of the Lord, army of the Lord, needed to have Israel submit. not as much in a physical sense, but spiritually. Before Israel could conquer any territory in the promised land, they needed to fully be submitted to God. You see, this is exactly why the people of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years, is because they weren't ready to fully submit to the will of the Lord. Joshua's complete submission, however, obviously signifies that this, and the people proceed with the conquest. So today, as we look at what's happening in Israel with Gaza, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, and our students at American universities shouting from the river to the sea, and all of the heightened anti-Israeli, anti-Jewish sentiments around the world, we who are students of prophecy are not surprised. This is exactly what the Bible tells us will happen. All nations, the Bible says, will ultimately abandon Israel, so that the Lord himself, all by himself alone, the commander of the army of the Lord, will fight the final battles for Israel. However, just as the people of Israel under the reign of Joshua needed to surrender to the Lord, the people of Israel today need to also submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Israel has tried to do it on their own, offer up land for peace, broker land in order to be able to get a little peace in the land, but it hasn't worked. You know, in 2005, Israel made the strategic decision to withdraw all of its military forces and all of the settlements in Gaza. This move was known as the Gaza disengagement, and it was aimed to end the Israeli military and presence in Gaza and disengage from all their responsibilities of governing the territory. Now, following the withdrawal, Israel offered to provide statehood, that's right, statehood and autonomy to the Palestinians in Gaza, as well as economic assistance for their development of the territory, their land, medical advice, and support. However, this offer was ultimately rejected by the Palestinian leadership, including Hamas, and subsequently, Hamas won the Palestinian legislative election 2006. Elections, my friend, have consequences. We've seen this over and over in the United States. And the election in 2006, when the Palestinians allowed Hamas to be their leaders, who had a vow to basically drive Israel out of the land, it has consequences. So we started this topic today with the question, Israelis and Palestinians, which side are you on? And I know you want to be on the side of the commander of the army of the Lord. Now, just hours, talking about Jesus, just hours before Jesus was going to be crucified, he cries out, and you can read this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus cries out, he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." You know, the people of Israel rejected Jesus Christ. And then in AD 70, Jerusalem, the temple was all destroyed and the Jews were scattered in what is known as the Great Diaspora. But there was a promise of a return that was there. The promises were made to the people of Israel, and God's promises are always fulfilled, and they're actually fulfilled literally. God's covenant with the descendants of Abraham was still intact throughout the diaspora, over 1900 years. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abram, he says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. All, and through you, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed." Now, on May 14th, 1948, one of the most significant prophecies in the Old Testament made by the prophet Isaiah came to pass. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8 says, "Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen anything like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment?" However, the vast majority of the people in Israel are still like the wandering chicks that Jesus cried out for, that the Lord wants to gather. Israel is like the parable of the prodigal son. the prodigal son who has not yet returned to the father. Now, the prophet Ezekiel tells us that this will happen. It'll happen at some time in, hopefully, in the very near future. Ezekiel chapter 36 speaks to both the physical as well as the spiritual renewal of Israel. You see, presently we see a physical return, but we don't see the spiritual return. Verse 24 of Ezekiel 36 says this, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then, the word of the Lord says, you will live in my land. I will gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God." You know, when it comes to choosing sides, we need to clearly understand God's perspective. It's always a challenge to see beyond human perspectives and align ourselves with God's eternal perspective. Like Joshua, who encountered the commander of the Lord's army before the Battle of Jericho, we are called to recognize that God's ways are higher. God's ways are higher than our ways. Instead of choosing sides based on worldly alliances, we're invited to seek God's guidance and follow His lead. My friends, I urge you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray that both the Palestinians as well as the Israelis come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, who gave His life so that we may have peace, so that we may have shalom. Amen? Hope that answers your question. Let's go ahead and pray. So, Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this question.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Baer's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Baer. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Baer. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.